Recently, we had a Japanese visitor came to visit us. She had been sightseeing in the south of England, and the intention was for her to come to Scotland. The arrangement was that we would meet her at a railway station in Glasgow. Somewhere along the route, she discovered that she was on the wrong train. The destination she was heading for was Edinburgh. Now, that was easily rectified, of course. She was able to get a train from Edinburgh to Glasgow. Really, there was no big problem. But it made me think. Some people along the road of life wake up to the fact that they are heading for the wrong destination. So it is crucial for every one of us to be certain as to the destination that we are heading for eternity. The Bible encourages us to consider our latter end. So in light of that, let me draw to your attention one or two things that the Bible does ask us to think well about, things that they ask us to consider. There is a verse which says, "Consider your ways." Twice over it is quoted in the book of Haggai, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." In other words, stop on the pathway of life, reflect, have a good spiritual stock-taking. Along which road have you been travelling in life? The Lord Jesus taught that there are two roads along which people travel. He called the first the broad way. He said there were many people on it, and its destination he described as destruction, that is, the eternal judgment of God. The second way, he called it the narrow way. He said there are few people on it, but it leads to life, that is, it leads to heaven. As you consider your ways, along which road have you been travelling on life? Are you on the narrow way that leads to eternal life, or are you on the broad way that leads to destruction? Some of you may be uncertain, you're not sure. Allow me to say this to you. Those who are on the narrow way that leads to life, they know that they're on that road because they can look back to a time in their lives when quite deliberately they stepped on to that narrow way. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus was asked the question, "Are there few that be saved?" He didn't answer it directly, but what he said was this, "Strive to enter in at the narrow gate that leads on to the narrow way." In other words, he equated being saved with starting out on the narrow way that leads to life. So maybe I could put my question to you this way. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were saved? That is, saved from your sins. You received the forgiveness of sins. Saved from the judgment of God. It's a Bible term that is used to describe the experience that a person has when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says they are saved. And that experience of salvation brings a person on to the Christian pathway, the narrow way that leads them to life. So tell me, are you on that narrow way? The other way, the Lord Jesus described as the broad way. Now, as I read the Bible, I think I can discern that there are two distinct lanes on that broad way. There is the lane that the Bible calls the way of sinners. It's thus described in Psalm 1. The way of sinners and the way of the ungodly. Now there are many who are travelling that lane of the broad way. There is no need to impress on them that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They know right well that they've been living recklessly and carelessly without regard for God or his laws. They know that they are sinners. They know that they are far short of God's standard. If you feel that you've been travelling that lane of the broad road, I've got good news for you. You don't need to travel it a moment longer. It's possible for anyone to step off of the broad way onto the narrow way. It can happen in an instant of time. By repenting of your sins and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll abandon that way that's leading you to destruction. You might say, "But really, I have been quite a sinner." Well, the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The note of hope is that no one needs to perish. Everyone can experience the joy of salvation because he died upon the cross at Calvary. There is a hymn which we sometimes sing written by Charles Wesley, the famous Methodist hymn writer, "The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives." So if you've been travelling the way of sinners, and you feel that you want to turn from that way, you could today repent of your sins and look to Christ who died upon the cross, and if you believe on him, he'll pluck you from that broad way and place you in the narrow way that leads to life, you will be saved. The other lane on that broad way is described in a different kind of way altogether. It is called a way which seems to be right to a man. But it is the old broad way, for the Bible says it ends in death. And there are multitudes who are travelling that lane of the broad way. They think that all is well with them because they've been kind, or generous, or honest, or respectable, or religious. They think that they've been living a very, very respectable life with a high standard of morality, and they really feel that that life will fit them for heaven. Now that is just a way which seems to be right. It sounds very convincing and logical if a person says, I've never done anyone any harm, I'm sure to get to heaven. I've lived a good life, I'm sure to be there. But the Bible says no one gets to heaven by their own good works. We daren't depend on our own goodness to give us a place in heaven. That is a way which seems to be right. The only way to heaven is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said. I am the way. I'll put an emphasis on another word. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So the way to heaven is not by our own good works. That is only a way which seems to be right. And it's just a lane of the broad way, and it's taking people down to a lost eternity. So consider your ways. And as you consider your ways, and perhaps wake up to the fact that you've been on the wrong road, you're on the broad way, I ask you now to consider something else that the Bible speaks of. It says of the Lord Jesus, consider him. More than once in the Bible we're told to consider him. Now of course there is so much about the Lord Jesus to consider, but in one of the contexts where we're told to consider him, we are told about two things that he endured. We are told that he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. That is, people criticized him, people reviled him, people ridiculed him, and in the events surrounding his trial, they really did pour scorn upon the Lord Jesus. They mocked him. They said, King of the Jews is he? Well, we'll give him a crown. And they put a crown of thorns upon his head and viciously battered it into his brow. They spat in his face, for they said, in effect, the king in Israel is always anointed, but they didn't anoint him with precious oil. They spat upon him. They put a reed in his hand as a mock scepter. They bowed the knee in derision and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And he endured that contradiction of sinners against himself. But again, in that context, we are told that he endured the cross. He took his cross out to that place called Calvary, just outside the city wall of Old Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us in all four Gospels that there they crucified him. He submitted himself to crucifixion. He submitted himself to the death of that cross. Why did he do it? In giving his life, he was offering a sacrifice for sins. That perfect life was given up in sacrifice so that our sins could be forgiven, so that our souls could be saved. And because the Lord Jesus died on that cross, God is able to forgive you. He can save your soul. So we are asked to consider him, the one who died for us upon the cross at Calvary. Of course, he not only died, after 3 days, triumphantly, he rose from the dead. And today he is a living Saviour at God's right hand. And that living Saviour wants to be your personal Saviour. Because he is alive, he will hear any appeal that you make to him for mercy and salvation. If you call out, as did Peter in the Bible, Lord, save me, Christ will respond to that appeal because he is alive. So consider him. He's the only one who can meet you in your need. He's the only one who can rid you of the plague of sin and empower you to live a Christian life. It is Christ that you need, and so says the Bible, consider him. So consider your ways, and perhaps as you consider your ways, you discover you haven't been on the right way in life. You're a sinner heading for a lost eternity. But then now, at the fork on the road, Christ stands. And you've got to consider him, and be willing to turn to him. And if you really believe in him, he will take you from the broad way and place you in the narrow way that leads to life. Finally, we come back to where we started. The Bible asks us to consider our latter end. In other words, to think about the destination to which we're heading for eternity. Consider your latter end. Consider when you might reach the end of life's journey. Well, not one of us knows about that. There was a man in the Bible who says, I don't know the day of my death. His name was Isaac. Now, what was true of Isaac was true of me, and it is true of you. None of us know when we're going to reach the end of life's journey, and life is fragile, and the body is fragile. So none of us know just when we're going to reach the end of life's journey. That is why it's so crucial to be ready to meet God. The Bible puts it this way, prepare to meet your God. Consider then when the end of life's journey could be. But then consider what it would bring. If you are on the narrow way, if you've been saved by the Lord Jesus, then it will be heaven. The Lord spoke about the Father's house, the many mansions, that place of bliss to which every believer in the Lord Jesus is heading for eternity. Heaven. Are you going to be in heaven at the end of life's journey? The other alternative is hell. The Lord Jesus said that those who were on the broad way were heading for destruction. Ultimately, the lake of fire. Now that is very sobering. It's for eternity. It's the judgment of God. It's eternal pain and woe. And you need to be sure that you'll never ever be there for eternity. I do want to assure you that God has no desire for you to perish. The Bible says that quite specifically. It is not his will that any should perish. That's why he loved you. That's why he sent his son to die upon the cross. That's why he makes salvation available to you freely, simply because he has no desire that you perish for eternity. But he does give you free will. He allows you freedom of choice. If you choose to remain on the broad way, then that way will take you to a lost eternity. God will not force you from that broad way onto the narrow way. He won't. The choice is yours. Consider your latter end. Where will you be in eternity? In light of the fact that these things are so very important, we ask you again to read your own Bible. Perhaps you could refer to a verse that I've quoted already, the words of the Saviour in John chapter 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Realize that he is the only route to heaven. I refer you to the website. On the website there is a chart displayed called The Two Ways and the Two Destinies. Study it. Realize that a lot of what I've been saying to you today is there pictorially, and you can look at it for yourself. But do think well about these important, crucial matters. Consider your ways. Along which road have you been travelling in life, the broad way or the narrow way? Consider him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think well of the fact that today he could be your Saviour if you repent and believe on him. And then consider your latter end in the light of the fact that eternity is coming on. You make your decision today to trust the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, and then all will be well forever and ever and ever.